Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of Pentecost comes from our second reading of Acts. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Thus far our text. Each in his own language. That's the thing here. That's the important thing. It's almost as if the things that the apostles were saying, were prophesying, were specifically for the people who were hearing them. They could hear the words and they could understand them. They were spoken into their ears and they all made sense. No language barriers anymore. No conjugating verbs in their heads to make sense and understand the right context. It was all right there in their own language for them. And yes, it was probably true that most of the people that were there in Jerusalem, from every tribe known to man, most of them could get by with a common tongue, make out enough, well enough, in order to go to the market, get a loaf of bread and a basket of apples, but they still did go home in the evenings, speaking their own language, hearing their friends and family speak it to them. But certainly no stranger was going to be speaking to them with their own words. But now, somehow, all of a sudden, these strange men are miraculously doing that very thing. They're speaking personal words to personal people, almost as if these personal words are personally spoken for them. The promise of the Holy Spirit has finally come upon the apostles. But let's be clear. This isn't the same coming of the Holy Spirit that is common to all believers. This isn't the stuff of the third article of the creed that we confess, the one about the Holy Spirit, when we say, I believe that I cannot believe, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls and gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us in the one true faith. This first day of Pentecost is something different, not better, but different. But different doesn't mean, or even though it is different, it's still connected to that third article stuff too. A mighty rushing wind comes whipping through the apostles' house, tongues of fire alight, dancing their flaming dance upon 12 heads. And the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, and he gives them utterance. He allows them to speak in tongues that they have never spoken in before. But these are not tongues of the celestial. They're not speaking the language of angels. For tell me, what good would that be? What good would a heavenly language do for earthly creatures? Not much good at all. It would just be a bunch of babbling. Nothing more than a noisy gong or the clanging cymbals of demons. For the apostles, they have a job to do. They have a word to proclaim. And to proclaim a word is to make certain that that word is heard. And not just heard, but understood. If it's not understood, then what's the point? The apostles, they go out into the streets and they begin speaking. Speaking words that are heard and words that are understood by everybody around them. People, good people, from all the surrounding nations are dwelling there in Jerusalem, each with his own language, each with his own tongue. And these people hear these Galileans speaking in languages that they should have never been able to speak in. Speaking words so that everyone around could hear and understand. And they all ask the same question, what's the purpose of this? Why is this happening? And surely the apostles were just as amazed as everyone else at what they were now able to do. Yes, Jesus had promised them the Holy Spirit, promised that this would happen, but he didn't say exactly that this would happen. And nobody knew exactly what it would look like. The helper would come. He would be given to the apostles, but what sort of help was he actually going to bring? And nobody knew. And now they have this amazing gift. But this amazing gift is amazingly not for the apostles. And oddly enough, that's how it is most of the time with the gifts of our Lord, isn't it? He often gives us gifts not for our own good, but for the good of those around us, for the good of our neighbor. We receive gifts from God so that our neighbors can receive gifts from God through us. And on this day of Pentecost, the exact same thing was true for all the apostles. Out they go, out into those crowded streets of Jerusalem, no social distancing there, just speaking words for all the people to hear. But these words have meaning, they have purpose. They haven't been given this gift so that they can talk about the weather. They aren't chatting with some Arabian about last night's baseball game or the riots that are breaking out in Bethany. Their words are more important than that. Their words have a deeper meaning, a deeper purpose than any of that. So let's go back. What is Jesus concerned about? What is Jesus always concerned about? He was always maddening to the people of his day because he was always concerned about the things of God. He was always concerned about those, speaking about the Old Testament and the prophets, always running around and quoting Moses and Isaiah. Jesus was always concerned with making things so incredibly clear, even if they weren't so incredibly clear to us sinners. And in the end, if we boil it all down and summarize it into one salient point, Jesus' words were always about Jesus. They were always about Him. They were always about Him fulfilling everything that the men of old prophesied about. Jesus was always concerned with fulfilling the purpose that was set before Him. You know what that is, that it's that cross thing. The drawing all people to Himself thing when He's lifted up. The resurrection from the dead 3 days later thing. The gospel thing. Forgiveness of sins. The crushing of death. The defeat of Satan. Jesus was always and only concerned with these things. Is it any wonder that when He sends His Holy Spirit upon the apostles, that they're only concerned about these things too? Into the ears of Cretans, into the ears of the residents of Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, the apostles are telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. But what are these mighty works of God? Are they just speaking about creation? Are they going over the Old Testament miracles like the Red Sea dividing or the walls of Jericho falling down? Maybe. But they certainly aren't speaking of those things just as their own, standing alone as a bit of trivia that can be locked away so that you can impress your friends later on. If Jesus was concerned about Himself, then the apostles are concerned about Jesus. And if Jesus gave the apostles the Holy Spirit so they might speak it to strangers in their very own language, then He gave them this gift so that they could speak to strangers in their own language about Jesus. What works of God are mightier than the works of God done in and through Jesus? There's nothing mightier than that. Nothing of more importance than Him. The apostles are fulfilling the words of the prophet Joel. They're sons of the Father, prophesying the mighty works of God. But to prophesy doesn't mean just to foretell the future. It means to speak of Jesus. To prophesy means to speak of the things of the past in relation to Jesus, and the things in the future in relation to Jesus, and most importantly, the things today in the present in relation to Jesus. For Jesus isn't just some historical figure for you to merely learn about. Jesus is for you. And he isn't just someone that has control of the future unless he has control of that future for you. And Jesus isn't just some mystical being out there in the mystical ether. He is for you in present and tangible ways, in touchy things, in wordy things. That's why the day of Pentecost is so amazing and so very important. The apostles spoke in the language of foreigners, not just so that there wouldn't be a language barrier, but they spoke the mighty works of God. They spoke the things of the cross, the things of the resurrection, the things of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, the things of Jesus in the language of these foreigners, so that these foreigners in our text might know for certain that Jesus is for them. Imagine that. It's almost as if faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thousands of years later, we're sitting here celebrating the day of Pentecost. But the day of Pentecost hasn't come and gone. I would venture to say that the day of Pentecost has never left us. For what is the day of Pentecost if it's not the beginning of the time in which poor, miserable sinners can hear in their own language that the cross is for them, that the resurrection is for them, that the forgiveness of sins is for them, that life everlasting is for them, that Jesus is for them? Tell me, how is today any different? How is any Sunday any different than that? I'm not going to start speaking in tongues. I'm not going to speak in different languages that I've never spoken in before, but I am going to speak to you in your language. You may be sitting here today with masks covering your faces, but those masks are not covering your ears. And the day of Pentecost is the day in which you get to hear in your very own language the mighty works of God. The day of Pentecost is the day in which you get to hear of Jesus for you. Listen with your uncovered ears in your own language, almost as if the words that I'm about to speak are personally spoken to you, because they are. Jesus is for you. All of that sin and guilt and shame that you've been carrying around each and every day, Jesus mightily took them to the weakness of his cross, nailing them all into his hands and into his feet to make them his own. And that death that you're so very scared of, that death that you're terrified to leave your own house because of, Jesus buried it in the tomb, buried it deep, buried it dead, never to come out again. And those devilish words that you hear whispered into your ears that run constantly through your mind, those words that say that the gospel isn't true, that Jesus isn't, that Jesus couldn't be for you, all of those have come undone. They're lies. They're false blatherings of a defeated demon who has no authority to speak those words and has no power to make them true. Because the truth is, the only truth that matters is Jesus is for you. And how do you know? How do you know that all of that's true? How do you know that thousands of years removed from the day of Pentecost, those words are still spoken for you? Because you hear them in your own ears, with your own language, personally and individually spoken to you. And the same Holy Spirit who caused the miracle of Pentecost, enabling those apostles to speak in tongues not their own, is the exact same Holy Spirit who works through these words to bring you to faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus for you. And if you need more than that, then you get it. Baptismal waters are yours. rivers of living water flowing over your head and out of your bellies, just like Jesus said in our gospel text. Do you thirst? Good. It's been far too long. Here's Jesus for you. Here he is for you. Come and eat so that you're hungry no more. Come and drink so that you thirst no more. Today is the day of Pentecost, and that means one thing, and one thing only. Jesus is for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.